Good afternoon, everyone. Let's welcome you to the Senate Committee on Healthcare and Human Services. It is Monday, May 6th, and I would like to open a public hearing on House Bill 2101B. Sandy?
Madam Chair, member of the committee, House Bill 2101B comes to you from the House with 46 ayes, 11 noes, 3 excused. This bill streamlines and consolidates the Oregon Health Licensing Agency's program standards, regulations, and requirements. Additionally, the bill establishes uniformity in licensing cycles, fees, continuing education, and the administration within OLA's authority. There's no revenue impact and a minimal expenditure impact on the B version, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Welcome, Holly.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, Senator Mona Sanderson, members of the committee. My name is Holly Mercer. I'm the Interim Executive Director for the Health Licensing Agency. I'm here today on House Bill 2101B, and the primary purpose of this bill was to streamline our licensing side of the agency with using some common nomenclature among our various boards. And then we did a friendly amendment with the audiologist to allow them to supervise our hearing specialists. And so we spent some time crafting that language, so it was a friendly amendment. And then we had we went through the revenue committee, and then we came up with another amendment, which basically made sure that the fees that we were charging would cover the expenditures of operating the board. So that's kind of the main crux of this bill. I think we've needed it for this agency for many years, trying to streamline our licensing side. So I would ask for your support of this bill, and I would be happy to answer any questions.
The only question I have is, and I think I know the answer to this, there were 11 nays, and I'm sure it's because it dealt with fees.
Yes. Chair Mona Sanderson, this was interesting. We spent some time in the Revenue Committee, actually 5 hearings. We couldn't, it would come before the committee, and we would work with Legislative Council to craft the language, finally landed on the correct language. Actually, the language was in the bill, but it was not associated with the changes in the legislation. And so I think that Representative Bentz wanted that brought forward closer to the changes. So that's how we ended up with the Second Amendment. But I do, when I looked at the nay votes, I anticipate that it was because it had fees mentioned in the bill, but it was never intended, nor does it increase fees by any stretch. We have to go through a whole process to do that. So,
excellent. Further discussion?
Anything that reduces complexity of regulation has been a real good thing, Madam Chair.
Yes. All right, that sounds good. All right, we haven't scheduled it. We didn't schedule it for a work session because there were so many no's. We wanted to make sure that, but it, since there's no opposition, let's schedule it as soon as we can for a work session.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
I'll close the public hearing on House Bill 2101B and open a public hearing on House Bill 2691A.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, 2691A exempts non-resident nurse from the Oregon licensing requirement. Okay. If a nurse is licensed and in good standing in another state, the nurse is practicing in this state without compensation for no more than 2 temporary assignments, not to exceed 5 days in any 12-month period, and assignments are for general public benefit. This has a January 1, 2020 sunset date on it, Madam Chair. There's minimal expenditure on the A engrossed, and there's no revenue impact. House floor vote was 53 ayes, 4 excused, and 3 legislative business.
And I assume no one signed up, but I think Diane McKeel is going to testify on this bill. So, Diane, would you come forward?
I would think I would know the protocol. Right? Thank you.
Diane McKeel, Multnomah County Commissioner, and I want to thank you, Chair, and committee members for the opportunity to testify on this bill. I've prepared written testimony, so I'm not going to read that to you. I just want to highlight some of the important points of this bill. And I am here because this bill helps with the veteran stand downs. And so I found out about the need for the legislation through my involvement in the East Multnomah County veteran stand downs last fall. These provide critical resources to many of the most vulnerable veterans in our community. The term stand down means to relax from an alert state or state of readiness. Veteran stand downs are the community's opportunities to help veterans relax, connect with important services and donations, and provide a hand up to help the veteran be successful in civilian lives. These events are volunteer-based and offer medical and dental services, haircuts, legal support, clothing and hygiene donations, and a chance to connect veterans with service officers and access to businesses looking to hire veterans. An organizer of the East County Stand Down has volunteered at disaster sites across the country with a nonprofit out of Tennessee that provides large medical and dental clinics. This legislation would allow this organization and others like it to come and serve our veterans as well as other Oregonians in need. We all have a collective responsibility to support our servicemen and women and do everything that we can to ensure stability and happiness for all veterans. Thank you for your time, and I hope you support this legislation. And I will point out, last session, Senate Bill 1509 enabled dentists and dental hygienists to serve in this capacity. So,
wonderful.
Thanks for bringing it forward.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yes. Senator Steiner Hayward.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner McKeel, it's great to see you here. And
thank
I
you.
Don't necessarily know that you're going to be the one to answer this question. I'm a little confused, Madam Chair, because if you look at Section 3, the lines 2 and 3 on page 3 of the bill, it says the amendments to ORS 678.031 by Section 2 of this Act become operative on January 1st, 2020. And I thought that Ms. Teely Serka told us that they were going to be sunsetted on January 1st, 2020, which I was going to ask about because I didn't understand why they were being sunsetted. So I'm really confused, and I apologize if I'm missing something obvious,
no,
Madam Chair.
No, I missed that.
No, hold on one second. Madam Chair, members of the committee, if you see what this is referencing to, 678031 by Section 2 and Section 2, that all that language is italicized, it's being deleted.
Mm-hmm.
This is saying that those deletions become operative January 1, 2020. Lines 41 through 40.
Okay, we're dealing with double negatives here, right?
Yes.
Okay, then.
And this is the way, this is the dynamic of legislative council. Rather than going in and having to automatically rewrite to remove it, they just put it in as a deletion. They put it in and then they take it out. And because
in case
they're
we change our mind?
No, it's their form and style thing. They've been doing this gradually now for a couple of sessions, and we have questions
just
about
to,
it.
Just to confuse legislators.
they have a better reason than what I explained.
Okay. I trust legislative council. They do really great work for us, and we are eternally in their debt. But I'm confused. It's an odd way of doing things. But then I guess the question becomes, why are we sunsetting this on January 1st, 2020, if it's...
Because it's not, it's only, it, we're not sunsetting the first part. It only references Section 2.
No,
it's because
Madam
what
Chair,
gets put in the first, yes,
right.
See?
But if you take a look, this language is what's being pulled out down
yes.
here, right?
Yes.
So we're adding it, and then this section is being pulled out, which is what Senator Steiner Hayward was just mentioning, and I don't know why a sunset was put in on the House side. It was an amendment.
I don't have the answer to that question.
I mean, I think it was an amendment.
I mean, I suppose it's an opportunity to look at it again and see if it's...
Can you just call Legislative Council and we will, you know, there's no one else signed up for this bill, and if we could get Legislative Council to talk to us about this, we'll go to the next bill.
Thank you.
All right. Any other questions?
No,
thanks,
ma'am.
For bringing it.
I'm sorry if I'm making things more complicated than they need to be. I was just very confused.
Okay, I will temporarily close the public hearing on House Bill 2691A and open a public hearing on House Bill 2768. And 2768, Stephanie Rogers and Larry Connor, can you come forward? Please introduce yourself for the record.
Chair Monis Anderson, my name is Larry Connor, and members of the committee, my name is Larry Connor. I'm a licensed professional counselor, and I'm speaking today as the president of COPACT, the Coalition of Oregon Professional Associations for Counseling and Therapy, which represents licensed professional counselors, LPCs, and licensed marriage and family therapists, LMFTs, across Oregon. We're here today to testify in support of House Bill 2768, which we have brought forth to modify our licensing statute. Both of these professions have been licensed to practice under Oregon statute since 1991. Licensed professional counselors and licensed marriage and family therapists are highly trained master's level mental health providers who offer psychotherapy to individuals of all ages, to families, couples, groups, and organizations throughout Oregon. There are 3,500 LPCs, LMFTs, and registered interns who each week work with over 70,000 Oregonians seeking services in mental health clinics, private practices, hospitals, prisons, educational institutions, and rehabilitation agencies. House Bill 2768 does two things. First, it makes the definitions of professional counseling and marriage and family therapy clearer and more enforceable by our licensure board. And second, it makes the time required for internship prior to licensure the same for LPCs as it is, or for LMFTs as it is for LPCs. I will address the definition issues, and my colleague Steve Rogers will explain the internship issue. In 2009, the law governing our professions was revised substantially and is now a practice act. However, as the law has been implemented since then, it has become clear that some of the definitions need further revision to ensure clarity for both practitioners and for our licensure board. In Section 1, Number 2, we propose adding a definition of clinical experience to help clarify the term, which appears in statute currently but has not been defined. In Section 1, Numbers 6A and 7A, we update and simplify the definitions of marriage and family therapy and professional counseling. With the addition of this language, practitioners will have clearer and easier to understand definitions, and the board will be better able to enforce the Practice Act for LPCs and LMFTs. House Bill 2768 applies only to master's level professional counselors and marriage and family therapists who provide diagnosis and treatment of mental disorders. It does not apply to anyone without a master's degree in counseling or marriage and family therapy, or to anyone who does not diagnose or treat mental disorders. COPACT has consulted with the executive director of the Oregon Board of Licensed Professional Counselors and Therapists on the language proposed in this bill, and it is our understanding that they have no concerns. Thank you for this opportunity to testify in support of House Bill 2768. I ask your support for the bill, and I hope that you send it to the Senate floor. And if you have any questions,
let's go ahead.
I would be happy to answer them.
Go ahead, and then
sure.
We'll ask for
Chair Monis Anderson, members of the committee. My name is Stephen Rogers. I'm the legislative liaison of the Oregon Association of Marriage Family Therapists, and I'm also on the board of COPACT. The Oregon Association of Marriage and Family Therapists, the Oregon Association of Counselors, and the Coalition of Oregon Professional Associations of Counselors and Therapists support Bill, House Bill 2768. My colleague has testified regarding the definitional changes to the Practice Act proposed in House Bill 2768. I will address the proposed modifications between the training requirements of professional licensed counselors and licensed marriage and family therapists. The number of years of training to become an LPC or an LMFT is the same. However, the number of years it takes to get that license post-graduation differs. The LPC takes 2 years, and the LMFT takes 3 years post-graduation. This bill seeks to create parity in the timeline for each license, using the LPC as the standard, 1 year of internship in graduate school and 2 years postgraduate supervised work. We believe the 2,400 hours required for licensure with supervision and a minimum of 3 years experience is a strong and realistic standard. House Bill 2768 modifies the law to recognize that the similarity between the two professions in education, training, and practice standards is significant and does not warrant treating the two professions differently in terms of the timeline for licensure. House Bill 2768 is an important part of strengthening and streamlining the Practice Act of 2009 by bringing parity in the licensing process for LPCs and LMFTs. I urge the committee's support of House Bill 2768. Thank you for this opportunity to testify.
Questions? Yes, Senator Steiner Hayward.
It seems to be my day for reading the last page of bills. And I wonder if you gentlemen could clarify something for me. Section 5 says the amendments, all these things that you've just talked to us about, which I completely support and I think are a great idea, apply to persons who apply to become a licensed professional counselor or a licensed marriage and family therapist on or after the effective date of this 2013 Act. So my question to you, because I don't understand your licensing process the way I understand my licensing process, I'm a physician, is I can understand about the training requirement only applying to people who are applying for the first time after this, because it doesn't seem fair to make it retroactive. But what about the definitional pieces? If somebody's practicing now as a licensed therapist, anybody who qualifies under these descriptions, would they be held to the new standards of definitions in terms of, you were talking about enforcement and consistency and things like that, or would they only be held to the old standards because they were applying after, because they'd applied before this became effective? I may be asking a dumb question, and that's okay. You can tell me that I am, but I want to be sure that we're just being consistent about our expectations.
Yeah. Chair Modis-Anderson and Senator Steiner Hayward. As we're tweaking the language of the Practice Act, that would apply to those who are practicing currently of that date, as far as the after that date. As far as the training standards, anyone who is in the process of getting licensed, who's in an internship, would find that they would be able to get the LMFTs would be able to get their license faster. The difference is that LPCs have been able to claim a year of their pre-graduate training as an internship, and LMFTs have not. And this just says the licensure board will make that the same, and anybody who's practicing as an intern or, well, only as an intern, because that's what it would apply to, as of that date, would have the new standards for licensure. That's how I understand it. And that was added by legislative counsel, by the way.
It's my day for questions. Legislative counsel, and I do not mean that disrespectfully. I have enormous respect for the work that they do. Okay, well, if you guys are comfortable with how this is worded and you think that it means that the new standards in terms of the Practice Act piece of it, how you're practicing, right, will apply to everybody going forward, then I'm cool with it. And
that's right.
If you're, I'm fine. I just want to be sure that everybody's going to be held to the same standard in terms, right, of their practice once this, yeah, passes.
That is our purpose in doing this.
And that's good to just get that on the record. So
thank you.
Okay.
Very much. Appreciate
any
it.
Any other comments? All right. I will.
Thank you.
There's no one else to testify on this bill, I don't believe. No. I'll close the public hearing, House Bill 2768, and open a work session on House Bill 2768.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2768 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Shields moves House Bill 2768 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Senator Steiner Hayward?
Aye.
Senator Knope?
Aye.
Senator Shields?
Aye.
Vice Chair Cruz?
Excused. Aye. Motion carries, and Senator Shields, would you carry this bill?
Sure.
That would be great. Senator Shields will carry the bill, and I will close the public hearing, our work session on House Bill 2768, and reopen a public hearing on House Bill 2691. Ashley, do you want to check? And there was someone else that was going to testify on this bill? No? Okay. We were hoping that Claudia Black would come in because she was the one that requested the sunset, and
Mark is here if you want to ask him about their form and style.
Yeah, Mark. Oh, there's Mark.
Yeah, Mark.
He's here. Yeah, you were hiding.
Did you just move this one?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Who's Gary?
Shields.
Hi, Chair Mona Sanderson, members of the Health Committee Board. My name is Mark Mayer, Legislative Counsel.
We had a question. Let me get the right bill out. 2691 on the very last page. The amendments of ORS 678.031 by Section 2 of this 2013 Act become operative on January 1st, 2020. And Senator Steiner Hayward was concerned what that meant. Okay.
Right. So when you sunset an amendment to a current provision of law, because of our constitutional requirement to set all amendments out in full, the way that you properly do that is you rewrite the section of law that's getting further amended, and you show the deletion that's going to occur at that time. So if you look at the Section 2 of A. Engrossed House Bill 2691, I realize this isn't something that we see all the time because it's a fairly rare occasion that we double amend something like this. That's what our office refers to it as. But then all that does is it sets forth the section in full again and then amends out the language that was added in Section 1. So a sunset of the amendment, so to speak.
And I wish Ms. Black were here.
Well,
we were just curious as to why the sunset was put in.
I can't speak to that. I know it was a policy choice made by the various parties involved with this particular bill when it went through the House committee on the other side.
Her phone's busy, so I can't even.
Her phone's busy.
Well, I mean, I don't have a problem per se, Madam Chair. It's not something I would want to hold up the bill for. I think it's a good idea. And 2020 rolls around at sunset, so there's not a problem. We can just reauthorize it and take off the sunset.
Mm-hmm. If you're comfortable with that.
I'm fine with that, Madam Chair. I just wanted to understand it if I could. And thank you for your explanation about why this is happening this way. It's weird, but I get it.
Yeah.
Thank you for your clear explanation. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Senator Hayward.
Thank you very much, Mark. All right. Any other questions for this bill? Okay, I will close the public hearing on House Bill 2691 and open a work session on House Bill 2691A.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2691A to the floor with due pass recommendation.
Senator Shields moves House Bill 2691 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? The clerk will call the roll.
Aye.
Aye.
Senator Shields?
Aye.
Vice Chair
Cruz? Excuse.
Chair
Monson? Aye. Motion carries, and I'll carry the bill, and I'll close the public hearing or work session on House Bill 2691A. And Sandy, is there any other business of the day?
Not before us, Madam Chair.
Okay, we are adjourned.